So last year, some of you may recall that I preached several weeks on the Sermon on the Mount. And if you haven't read that lately, I want to encourage you to do so. It is three chapters in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 5 through 7, covering what is perhaps the greatest sermon ever preached. Jesus Christ teaching us about the human condition, man's frailty, the narrow gate that we are called to walk through. It is profound in its teachings, and I promise you this, every second that you spend reading through those three chapters will be a moment to be treasured, time well spent. And Jesus begins that Sermon on the Mount with a section that's known as the Beatitudes. You all are probably familiar enough with them to know that it begins, "Blessed are." And then there's a list of conditions that Jesus reads through. And I want to refresh your minds about what he says there. And I want you, as you're hearing these, to allow your mind to come up with an image. Who is it that your mind conjures up when you hear these Beatitudes? What does a person look like who Jesus says is blessed? Because Jesus says this, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me." What kind of person comes to your mind when you hear those words? Did you get a picture? When you think of someone who is meek and lowly, someone who's mourning, someone who is merciful, someone who is seeking peace yet is constantly under persecution themselves. When I start thinking about somebody like that, the mental image that I get in my mind starts with Mother Teresa, this frail, sort of bent over woman who is, she is bound and determined to do the work of the Lord, but she seems so tiny in this world. I think of somebody that comes into a room and is almost invisible, and yet their first move is to find the person who is invisible in the room and go and give them comfort. I think of somebody who, in this fast-paced world that we're living in today, would get run over. And if you were to ever put them on one of our TV talk shows where you have a round table discussion, this is the person who would never get a word in edgewise, because while other people are so quick to talk over them, they don't want to intrude on anybody else's rights. In some ways, this person almost comes up in the image of a Christian doormat, if you will. And I don't want to say that that is not the image that we are supposed to get, because these are the words of Christ himself as he is proclaiming who is blessed, who will inherit his kingdom. And so we need to take those words seriously. Now, I want you to wipe the slate clean again, and I'm going to give you a few more phrases. And again, I want you to allow your minds to wander and see what you come up with as an image of this person. Loyalty to country, team, and teammate. Serve with honor and integrity on and off the battlefield. Ready to lead, ready to follow, never quit. Take responsibility for your actions and the actions of your teammates. Excel as warriors through discipline and innovation. Train for war, fight to win, defeat our nation's enemies. Some of you may know exactly where those words come from. But for the rest of you, when you heard those words, I suspect that you had a very different image come to your mind than those Beatitudes brought to you. You probably have in mind someone who stands tall, shoulders high, back ramrod straight, head held high, somebody walking with integrity, somebody that almost looks like they've been chiseled out of stone, somebody who strides with a purpose, somebody, they might bend, but they're not going to break because there's no quit in them, someone who will never leave someone behind. You are thinking about somebody who's a warrior. And that's the right image to have, because what I just read to you was from the creed of the Navy SEALs. And so if you ever have a job that needs to be done, something that seems impossible on the battlefield, you take the Navy SEALs, because you know that if they didn't succeed, no one could have succeeded. But where no one else can succeed, they probably will. And you go on in knowing that their dedication to the task is almost unmatched, except for their dedication to each other. And they're going to perform their task with dignity and with honor. And that's the Navy SEAL. That's a very different image than the image you get when you think about someone from the Beatitudes. Also know that the Navy SEAL is not part of Scripture, in case you had any concerns about that. And here at this church, we're concerned about Scripture. I like preaching straight out of the Bible, telling you what it says. And then, if we have time, applying it to your lives. Scripture is important. And there's a principle in teaching about Scripture. It says that the three most important things in Scripture are first and foremost context. And then the second most important thing is context. And then the third most important thing is context. And that's because every word that's written down in Scripture is written down as part of a verse, as part of a sentence. And that verse wasn't put in there on its own. It was part of another series of verses. And those series of verses collectively comprise a letter or a book that was written at a specific time to a specific people. But yet that letter or that book then fits into the context of the totality of the Bible with its message, its purpose. And so we must always keep things in context. Even when we get the words of Jesus Christ himself that conjures up on their own an image of one who is meek and lowly, we need to understand that that's not all that the Scripture has to say about what it looks like to follow Christ. In fact, Jesus himself, he tells his apostles as he is about to go to his own death, he says, there is going to come a time that they are going to arrest you. But this is being done for a purpose, because it is my plan that you will be brought before kings and rulers. And don't worry about what you have to say, because I'm going to give you the words to do it. What Jesus is saying to them is, you will not go before them on your own strength, because I will provide that for you. You will not go to them with your own wisdom, because my Spirit will provide those words for you. Jesus is saying you can't do it on your own, but through me all things are possible. Yes, we go to him meek and lowly and humble, but we allow ourselves to be filled with his Spirit and with his strength. When Joshua stood before Jericho, not knowing what to do, the army of the Lord's army, the commander of the Lord's army, came and said to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Jesus says to his followers, be strong and courageous. And the Apostle Paul, in the words that he wrote that we heard read today by Anne, is the apostle saying to Timothy, be strong and courageous. He writes these words, you then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Be strong and courageous. Be steadfast and be an overcomer. And we have here Paul saying to Timothy that you have this strength in Christ Jesus that will help you do what you need to do to fulfill his purposes for you. And don't worry about that suffering that you're going to go through, because soldiers suffer. All they got to do is go through boot camp to be able to tell you that. And that's just a taste of what's to come. But when you're serving in the army of the Lord, you need to expect that. Suffering not simply from battle, but suffering from the disciplining, the training that it takes to get you prepared to fight on his behalf. Paul says, join me in that suffering like a good soldier of Christ. And then he says, no one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Paul is saying to Timothy, you are a soldier in the army of the Lord, and he has given you a job to do. He has called you to go out and find men who will be faithful in not just learning the gospel message, but in then taking that message out to others and teaching them and making disciples of all nations. It sounds an awful lot like the Great Commission that has been given to all of us to go, therefore, into all the nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that Christ has commanded. A commission that Paul is giving to Timothy, Christ has given to each and every one of us, that we are to be faithful and to follow his commands, to go forth as a good soldier. And you know what? It's going to be hard. And there's going to be suffering. It's going to take discipline. It's going to take training. And it's going to take integrity. And you can't do it on your own strength. Because we must come to the Lord in meekness, in humility. We have to come to the Lord recognizing that on our own, we are incapable of doing any good for his kingdom. Because there is none good but God alone. But when we allow God, the Holy Spirit, to indwell us, to live inside of us, to create in us a new heart, to create in us a new being, now we're ready to be molded into soldiers with effect. And none will be left behind. You will suffer. You will be persecuted. You might even die. But we serve the one who has conquered sin and death, and with him we will be risen. And if this talk of being a soldier sounds different to you than any other image you've had before about what it means to follow Christ, well, maybe it's time for you to have a wake-up call about that. Because we are in a spiritual battle. And you were not called to the Lord so that you could just sit on the sidelines and watch what happens. He formed you for a purpose. And that purpose is to serve him right now. Not sometime in the future, but today. And all you have to do is to look around our nation right now and to see the anti-religious voices clamoring louder and louder and louder. Stand up for the gospel truth and you will be shouted down in the public square. Stand up for the gospel truth in the schools and they'll take your jobs away. You will not see anyone standing up for the gospel message in the pop culture because it is deemed hate speech. This is a spiritual battle. But understand this. As soldiers, we want to fight the right war, not the wrong ones. And our battle is not against the flesh and blood of this world. Our battle is not against the leaders of other political parties or even social movements that we may find ourselves in disagreement with. Our battle is against the forces of evil, Satan himself and his minions. It is a spiritual battle that's going on in the hearts and the minds of people, not just in this nation, but around the world. It is a battle that can only be fought when we are willing to submit ourselves wholly and completely to Christ and take the task that he gives us. You want to know what a warrior looks like? Think of Billy Graham. Someone who would stand up and proclaim the truth of God's word. Think about pastors today like Tony Evans, Tim Keller. Think about Beth Moore, Priscilla Shire. People who are willing to stand and boldly proclaim God's gospel truth. That's what we're called to do. We're called to be soldiers in that army. Now, some of you may be saying, I'm not so sure I've been called to that. Well, I can promise you this, as those of you who are here with military training know, that it takes a lot of different jobs so that the people on the front line with guns can do their job well. Somebody needs to feed them. Somebody needs to make sure that they have clothes to wear as a uniform, equipment that works. Somebody needs to transport them to the front lines or back where they can get medical care. Somebody needs to care for them physically, spiritually. Somebody needs to make all of that happen. Somebody needs to lead the way. There are so many different roles that you can fill in the service to the Lord's army. There's one role that I think too many of us enjoy, though, and that's the role of spy. Because you know what the job of the spy is, right? Yes, you're fighting for the Lord's army, but what you're doing is you're trying to make it so that nobody knows that's what you're actually doing. Because then we can go to our favorite places and infiltrate them, right? And nobody knows that we're on the Lord's side. We don't want to tip our hand. Because we can report back and say, yeah, we need to work in that area. The shame is that so many of us in that mindset of spying for the Lord think, you know what? I'm just waiting for the time, that opening, that one moment that I get when I can touch somebody else's life while I'm hanging out at the bar or I'm doing this or that. And that moment never arises. We got far too many people thinking that they're Christian spies. God wants them to take off the disguise and boldly proclaim the side that they are on. You are not here to do whatever you wish. You were bought with a price. Christ's blood shed and penalty paid for your sin. You are His to do with as He sees fit. And if you truly understand what He has done for you, you will rejoice in that knowledge. He gave His all so that you could be here, have abundant life, not just in this world, but in the time to come. Paul chose to close with these words for this verse for the day, and I'm going to hit them again. Paul says, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. You all remember that Jesus was flesh and blood. He was 100% man, while at the same time 100% God. And when they nailed Him to that cross until He took His last breath and died, He was dead. And they put Him in a tomb. But 3 days later, that tomb was empty because He had conquered sin and death. And He promises that if you follow Him, you too shall have that victory. Remember Jesus, raised from the dead. That is the gospel that Paul suffered for. That is the gospel he tells Timothy to suffer for. That is the gospel that we must suffer for. That we were all sinners, children of wrath, worthy of death. And yet Christ so loved us that He came down from the throne and died His own death to conquer the sin that we could never defeat on our own. Remember that and endure everything for the sake of those who we have not yet reached, because that is our task. Our job as soldiers of the army of the Lord is to go out and reach the lost, to put in front of those who have never heard the gospel message, hope in Christ Jesus. That is our call. And if we will accept that charge as soldiers in the army of the Lord, we are told this, that if we die with Him, we will also live with Him. If we endure, we will also reign with Him. But there's a warning. If we disown Him, He will also disown us. But even if we are faithless, God will remain faithful, because He is faithful and He is true. We must persevere, my friends. Yes, we come to Christ meek and lowly. We come to him fully humbled, aware of our insufficiency. But in him, we must be strong. We must be courageous. We must be steadfast. And we must be overcomers. Because we are called to be all of that and more. This Memorial Day, remember those who served in the armies of our nation, who gave their lives so that we can be free in this life. But remember as well those members of the army of the Lord, those soldiers who have already given their lives so that others might know freedom from sin. And remember that call on your life as well. This is not a time to sit quietly in the background. This is not a time to be a Christian doormat. This is a time to rise up confident that you rise with the one who is risen. And that if we die with him, we will rise as well. And we will one day hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Welcome to your rest." That is your charge as soldiers this day. That is your charge as disciples of Christ. Follow Jesus Christ, your commanding officer, knowing that you live with him now and forevermore, with him, in him, and to his glory. And all God's people said, Amen. Let us pray. Father,